What's up, everybody? This is Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. I'm your host, Imran Khan, and joining me is FM3 underscore himself, Mr. Fran Mirabella III.
I woke up.
You woke up. Woo! It's shocking you woke up, considering, one, what a awfully cloudy, miserable day it is outside.
Miserable today.
And two, we're freshly earthquaked.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you kind of want to like sleep in and not worry about the day after. Yeah. We did have a little shaker last night in San Francisco around.
You were streaming.
Yeah, or the second time it's happened now. So I guess there's a few clips of me and how I react to earthquakes.
How do you react to earthquakes?
The most accurate one I saw had added Jen, Greg's wife, added her the Jurassic Park, like where you put your arms out and the velociraptors are around you. And I was like, actually, that's pretty accurate. I think usually I'm like, whoa, earthquake? And yeah, I have my arms up. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I guess if something falls, that's what it is. You're going to catch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I got like
monitors. That's not how it works, but sure.
I got like monitors up above me. Right. So anyway.
That's what I do too, is like the second I feel the earthquake, I reach and grab my TV. Because I'm sure like those like manufactured built TV stands that look like cheap plastic will actually hold it up. Nah. My fear is like, because I have a glass TV stand as well.
Yeah.
That thing is just going to buckle.
That thing's going to buckle. Yeah. For sure.
And then like my TV is going to go down, hit my coffee table and take all my consoles with it.
Protect your PS4. That is your number one priority.
Dive in front of it like the bodyguard.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody was safe. Glad to have seen that nobody, you know, got
someone who is in the chat was like, it's only a 4.5. Sheesh. But it's not that it wasn't just a 4.5. It was also super close.
Yeah.
Like that was over in the East
Bay. San Francisco. It's like whatever, 45 minutes away from here. And they're all different, by the way. If you've never experienced earthquakes, they're all different in the way they feel, and the depth is actually matters more than just that number.
Yeah.
So anyway, the way the ground is, if it's soft or you live on like bedrock, it's completely different for everybody.
Yeah, this one felt like you're on a boat. Like it was just a sway. Yeah. I was like, well, I know this is an earthquake. Just a question of how bad this is going to be and how long it's going to last.
This last one last night, I haven't felt one that long, at least that I can remember since probably like 2010.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was crazy.
Like four or five seconds into it, I'm like, this is lasting a really long time.
Yeah.
What point do I start to get worried?
Exactly. That's the thing. You always just want it to stop, it feels like it goes on for much longer than it did.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're all safe.
We're all
here
fine.
With some game news today, right?
Yeah, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, where we warn you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to listen to. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you're wrong. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or listen later by searching Kinda Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Today's stories include, we got Halo Infinite shakeups at 343, we got Blizzard canceling an Overwatch event.
Shocker.
And Fortnite, the biggest game in the world, is coming back with Chapter 2 today.
Oh,
or is already back by this point.
The black
hole
is gone,
But before a little bit of that, we got housekeeping. This weekend, then like a couple of days from now, Kinda Funny is going to Toronto. EGLX is Saturday and Sunday. Check out kindafunny.com/events. But Saturday at 12:30 p.m., they got an autograph session. Greg, Nick, and Andy?
Barrett, all right?
Yep.
Yeah. On Saturday at 7:30 p.m., there is a Smash Brothers Royal Rumble on the main stage. And on Sunday at 11 a.m., the Kinda Funny Kinda Funny panel on the main stage as well. Extra Life is Saturday, November 2nd.
God.
It's so close.
We never get a break, but I'm so excited to raise money for the big, beautiful kids.
If you don't know what Extra Life is, we raise money for charity by staying awake on stream for 24 hours and, I guess, doing entertaining things. I can't promise how entertaining it's going to be. We're going to try our best, but like...
entertaining and fun every single
year. It's crazy,
Imran. Yeah. Never doubt.
I watched last year, and by that, like, hour 20, that was the point where, like, everyone was just, like, so... they hit a second wind of emotion, but not quite physical like ability. So it's definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think I made it on last year's Barrett. I was still doing some stuff for IGN. I was freelancing, but that was round.
Yeah, I feel like you were around because wasn't it last year where you were like live, like IRL streaming or something like that? I remember you like going around the office and like recording and stuff.
I think that was New Year's, but
That makes sense.
I think it was for the kind of funny fundraiser, you know, yearly the opening to the year, right when they announce all the new Patreon stuff. That's what I did. I played Kevin's stomach like bongos, you know, play the drums on the monkeys. But that song, not everybody knows.
I remember that.
Anyway, you can look forward to things like that. Yes, yeah. And people sleeping on a couch. So which is against Twitch terms of service.
Yeah, it's fine. It's for kids.
Right.
It's for charity.
We're gonna sleep on stream.
We're gonna sleep for kids.
So that's November 2nd.
Today we're brought to you by our Patreon producers Blackjack and Mohammed. We're also brought to you by Brooklyn and Manscaped and Escape the Invasion, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got four stories today.
Pickers!
Does.
Fran?
Yes.
How do you feel about Fortnite?
Fortnite Chapter 2 out now today. Play it. Yeah, so as everybody knows by now, they had a rather brilliant marketing campaign, I think, where they deleted the internet, so to speak. They up and got rid of their Twitter, right? And they just put a black hole event in the game where it sucked everything in the game, including your menus, into a black hole, which was really cool. It was like, it's gone. What's next? They definitely did not clarify when it was coming back, but people kind of got into the data, and some people seemingly knew in the content community that basically got out that it was launching.
And they accidentally leaked the leak trailer that they posted yesterday.
Get leaked?
It got leaked, I want to say, about 12 hours early.
Whoops.
But it was posted here on Games Daily yesterday. Oh. And I don't know whether Epic had some issues with that us actually airing the trailer, but whatever.
Not if they didn't send it over and KF wasn't under NDA. But anyway.
But yeah, speaking of what's next, Chapter 2 update is out now, and here's what's new. This is from GameSpot by Oscar Deus. Fortnite Chapter 2 is finally here. The Battle Royale game has been down recently, but servers are back up. There's a new update out now on PS4, Xbox One, PC, Nintendo Switch, and mobile. Epic Games patch notes state the game's an all-new island featuring 13 new locations. Water will seemingly be a big factor this time around, with new mechanics such as swimming, fishing, and motorboats added. You can also carry fallen teammates to safety or revive them using the Bandage Bazooka. Mm-hmm. Additionally, Epic has revealed a new battle pass for Chapter 2 Season 1. It will, of course, include new skins, emotes, and weapon wraps, but it also offers more chances to earn XP and medals.
That's one of the big things.
You'll contribute just by searching chests, for example, or eliminating opponents in competing challenges. Fortnite Chapter 2 has been highly anticipated since the game went dark over the weekend. However, people were expecting Season 11. Epic has instead followed up with Chapter 2 Season 1, indicating a fresh start for the game. So, I'm not a big Fortnite guy. I've played the game maybe twice. I've observed the game from a business perspective since it's like became the biggest thing in the world for I want to say it's been about a year and a half now.
The game itself?
The game, well, since it's been that huge.
Oh, yeah, I guess it took several months, but it's just over 2 years old now.
Yeah.
The game itself.
But this
but it's
has
been
a,
big for, yeah, you
This
right.
has been a fascinating thing to watch. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Blackout, obviously, we're relaunching the game, so we have to have some maintenance period to do that.
I guess, and that's the only thing I'll say, is that we've experienced pretty major live events already in Fortnite. The newest one was the coolest. I don't think it did anything other than it evaporating your menus and leaving, you know, just a black hole in your when you boot up. That was the biggest thing. But, like, meaning they've done major map upgrades, not all new. Yeah. But I sort of questioned for a while. I was like, man, what's coming? You know, how is everything going to be? All the guns, you know, new textures. And it turns out that's not quite it. It really is, if it's not broken, don't fix it strategy, as far as I'm concerned. So, if you didn't know, I played a bunch of Fortnite when it first came out. I wouldn't say I was any good at it, but I played a lot of it. Kind of like Andy was playing a lot, too. And what, Barrett?
No, I'm just listening. He's looking at it. I have something to say. I thought you were going to say,
you were pretty good.
Hey, you know what, friend? You were pretty good.
That was okay. Playing on PC, tough, cranking those 90s. Did a show on IGN for a while called Fortnite Tonight. So talked to a lot of folks, Dr. Lupo, et cetera. And anyway, so was very in it for a while. So anyway, I had pretty high expectations for this, is all I'm getting at. So I'd actually like to ask you, of what little you've played and followed Fortnite, did you take a look at the new map yet, or you saw the trailer?
I saw the trailer, and I watched, like, I booted up the game just to see, like, how this is different. And actually, it boots up in a very cool way now, where they show you this FMV intro, and, like, immediately as you, like, as soon as the intro ends, like, intro is the blonde Fortnite guy jumping off the bus.
Right.
And as soon as it ends, you're just in the map, dropping.
Oh, really? They drop you in? Because
I guess they just want you to play immediately. Don't get intimidated by menus, any of that stuff.
Right. That's pretty cool.
That's really neat. I didn't know. I haven't got a chance to play it yet.
So, like, it's a very cool way to, like, if you're going to reboot, quote unquote, this game, this is a smart way to do it of just try it. Just go in and do what you, like, see what is different, see what is new. And a couple of weeks ago, they had that new matchmaking thing where, based on skill level, you'll probably fight bots for a little while early on. But as you start going in and, like, getting better at the game, you're going to start playing against more people in a match.
Interesting for new players in.
Yeah, because you had no skill level to match against. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, I remember.
That must be an option if you just want to drop in and practice first.
I guess so.
Because forcing you on us, because maybe you're an amazing shooter player, like, you wouldn't want to drop in and fight bots on your first matches.
But I mean, like, there's no option the first time you boot that up.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you just go straight into it. Hmm. So I kind of wonder, like, well, if all that was built towards this idea of, we want to make this, we realize Fortnite is getting inaccessible for people.
Right.
So, like, there are people who play who are really into Fortnite, but we want this to be, like, still the big thing it was a year and a half ago or whatever. So maybe this is a smart way to do it, like combining the theatrics and also mechanical changes and accessibility changes at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I have to imagine their main goal is to bring people back. You know, there's more competition than ever. Maybe we should actually read our question because it's relevant to this. But there's just, like, a lot more competition now, right?
Yeah.
So
before we get into the question, Bear, what was it you were going to talk about earlier?
Yeah, I was going to give my perspective. The summer that Fortnite came to Switch, you know, we had a whole crew. It was me, Joey, Kev Dog, a couple best friends. Like, we were playing Fortnite all the time. And after a couple months, I definitely was more, like, in and out, came back every couple seasons just to check out the changes. But yeah, I was super out of Fortnite for a while. But then watching this trailer this morning, I was like, fuck, they might got me back. Like, I might want to, like, re-download this and check it out. Because all of the changes, even though I don't think they're as major as, like, the things that you were speculating on, Fran, of, like, maybe they changed the texture stuff and, like, all this stuff.
Well, that's what I wanted to see. Yeah. I didn't, you know, finish that yet. But
but even just the little changes, like, a completely new map, which is awesome. I'm excited to actually just check that out. But also the, like, helping out downed enemies and whatnot, and to see, like, the new different areas and how that changes the moment-to-moment gameplay. I'm really excited to check that out.
Yeah, so I didn't finish, but based on what I've seen, I will say at first glance, I'm like, oh, it looks like Fortnite still. And it should, but I guess in my mind's eye, I was like, man, I kind of was envisioning, you know, not like you're going to have all these skins and stuff that, of course, it's going to look the same, but, like, they have Retail Row still, and it's an alternate universe. I'm pretty sure I saw it on the map. So it's bringing a lot of what was in the original map in a new twist. It is an all new, brand new map. There's there's rivers that are flowing through it now. There's some boats in it. There's fishing.
Like a nuclear plant.
Yeah. So when you look at it at first glance, if I feel like if you watched a lot of streams, you just looked at it, you're like, wait, this is a new map? Oh, yeah, it's a new map. Like, that is my reaction.
I mean, you kind of got to be afraid as a developer and as a company. Oh, what if we change too much? What if this becomes unrecognizable as, like, Fortnite?
Exactly. And that was my main thing I was driving at, is, like, I don't blame them for that at all. It's almost certainly the right move. I hear a lot of streamers when I was dipping in and out saying, ooh, I'm getting season one vibes, you know, whatever that means, given that it looks very similar. But, like, the way the map is spread out and, you know, maybe it's not as bloated as the previous map had evolved a lot, and there was, like, a lot of craziness going on. So maybe there's some of that. But yeah, ultimately the big change you're going to see if you are a Fortnite player and you haven't got a chance, but peeked in, there's like, yeah, there's a crafting table now, so you can actually use materials. So if you got a green, you can upgrade to a blue. If you want to give up, you know, steel, wood, brick. And so that's honestly a huge help when you're trying to balance out, like, I'm getting crap drops from these chests, and you're a good player, but you're like, I got crap guns. Well, now you can do something about
it. Maybe you prioritize combat over building and whatnot.
Right, exactly.
And so there's a kind of new balance of what to use, all of the stuff that you pick up for. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds super cool, actually.
Yeah, and so they've likely tuned up a lot of, like, the guns as well. And so, to your note, I also noticed that, you know, there weren't, like, a ton of new patch notes yet. Mm-hmm. They literally just say, drop in, like you're saying, and now I get it. They really want people to be surprised and discover what's going on with it before they just be like, here's your list of all your changes and go over to this area and here's your crafting table. Like, literally, some of this is on the page. They say, you know, the bandage bazooka, like you're saying, and you can fish. But I think there's a lot of surprise to just drop in a game like this and let the community discover everything that's there. I mean, they're probably already fully discovered.
Yeah, like they're saying basically, don't worry about the minutia. Just go in, discover it for yourself, find out what you find is fun in Fortnite. And then that will be how you play the game. Because like Barrett was saying, if you don't want to play, like, I don't like building in that game. That was one of the reasons I stopped playing it, is that building is how you get good in that game. I would like to just take a gun and go shoot things.
Right.
So if emphasizing combat is a viable, I don't want to say build because that makes it a bit more complicated, but like a viable path in that game,
I'm
more interested. But we want to go a little back here. And John, who has Stale Savior on all platforms, says, what's up, Fran and Imran? Fortnite dropped the new season with no patch notes and no explanation of what's new. They've added a completely new map, new weapons, vehicles, and there's even fishing. Fortnite recently seems to have been declining in concurrent viewers on Twitch. But do you guys think this new season will bring Fortnite back to the top position it held around seasons 4 through 7?
Well, it certainly wasn't declining in viewers when they dropped the Black Hole event with
4.5 million on Twitch alone, I think.
Jesus. Was it 4? I never saw that. I think the total number I saw
was 7 million across Twitch, YouTube, Fortnite.
I never saw that peak then.
I don't know if it was only on Twitch, but I saw the number of 4.5 million on one thing. It might have been within Fortnite itself.
But it's an insanely high number. But where we were going with this before and where I thought it played into the question is, it said, oh, can it go back to where it was seasons 4 to 7?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was no Apex then. World of Warcraft Classic wasn't out. You know, also, we've been playing this game now for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are spread out. You've also got, you know, Ninja over on Mixer now, which spreads the viewership out.
Is he still playing Fortnite or what's he doing?
Oh, yeah. He's still all over Fortnite. That's his bread and butter. But anyway, so I feel like it's impossible to go back to, like, you know, we're not going to go back to season 4 to 7 where there's no competition. Apex is there. WoW is there. Mm-hmm. Destiny even is there. You know, I'm out there playing Destiny. Borderlands is out there now. Not a huge, you know, directory viewership, but you got to remember that people are playing these games despite what you see on Twitch directories.
Right.
So anyway, I don't think that's a bad thing. I wouldn't expect it to go back to that. But I think this is going to bring in a lot of interest for the first few weeks. Absolutely. I think more importantly, it's like, are people going to hop in and play it? And I do. I think a brand new map, like Barrett, you know, you were saying, like, there's enough in there. You're like, yeah, I might check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you have to know is someone who has either dabbled in Fortnite or maybe you played season 4 and never came back. You're like, wait, oh, it's a totally new map. And like, oh, they have this crafting table and like, it's totally changed. Like, you actually missed all this other stuff they've done that I think was worth coming back to check out. But when it's all brand new, fresh coat of paint, that tends to bring in folks.
Yeah, it's the expansion concept that MMOs do all the time. They don't necessarily assume you're going to constantly keep playing every day, all day. Like some people do. That's fine. That's a viable way to play that game. But they want you to come in with every new expansion, pay money for that, and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite benefits in that it's a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
So you can always just go like, okay, well, I haven't played in a while. Let me just check in what's up with this. There's no harm in, like, downloading from the eShop or downloading it from the Epic Games Store or whatever.
Exactly.
And, like, compare this to, say, if you're interested in Call of Duty and you're interested in Modern Warfare, it's like, oh, I loved Modern Warfare 10 years ago. I'd totally like to play this game again. You have to spend $60 to go do that.
Exactly.
Here, you're like, oh, whatever. I'll check in, see if it grabs me in for I want to say 80% of people, maybe 90% of people, that's not going to be the case. But that 10% of people who comes back and starts getting into Fortnite again, getting a 10% back into your game is huge.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially a game this big. Yeah. Like you're saying. But yeah, it'll bring people back for now because the new map is long overdue. It's never had a new map. It's had map changes and certainly has evolved a lot. But this is a totally brand new map. So I think it's going to bring a lot of folks in, trying it out again. How many people stick around and don't go back to play these other games, we'll see. Like, I would play more Fortnite, but I can barely keep up with Destiny, and I got Borderlands, and now Division's releasing, like, new content, and I'm like, oh my gosh, too much for me to play, but I will be going back this week to play Fortnite.
That feeling, though, of, like, that overwhelming feeling of there's too much shit to play is how I end up playing games like Fortnite. Just being like, I don't know what I want to play. There's so much. My backlog is so huge. There's so many games coming out. I'm just going to play this simple one-round game of Fortnite, and then that turns into two rounds and five rounds. Yeah.
90 minutes.
I'm a broken
hours.
Person where there's so many games where for the first time in a couple of weeks, I'm actually playing new games and not old Zelda games.
Yeah, I was like, Barry, you need
taking a break, and so when I looked at like all of these games that are already out that I need to play and games coming out in the next couple of weeks, I was like, fuck, I'm so overwhelmed. And then I just played Donkey Kong 64 all the time.
That's how I end up, too.
Comfort
like,
food.
I keep thinking like, oh, well, there's just nothing to play here this winter. It's like a very weak winter, but then I look at the actual games list and like, oh shit, there's all these games I want to spend money on. Like, I want to spend money on play day one.
Yeah.
And just like, it's not, there's not a huge like, oh my god, this is the biggest console exclusive of the year. This is the year Uncharted 5 comes out or whatever. It's just like, oh, these are really huge. Like, these are big games to me personally.
What are you excited about actually in the next months?
Looking like, at the list,
through the end of the year.
I was Outer Worlds I completely forgot about. Just because I've been super
New Vegas.
Yeah, Obsidian. It looks like
and
a very good game. Played it at Judges Week, and I was like so impressed. It was my game of the whatever.
Oh,
at
you've
Judges
already
Week.
Played it. That's right.
Yeah, I played the demo. Yeah, and Death Stranding, obviously, big one that I'm excited about. Luigi's Mansion, I completely forgot about. That's coming up in a couple of weeks.
I wanted to say that. I'm excited about that one.
Then there's Pokemon. There's a bunch of stuff like
Pokemon. I could take or leave. I'm excited it's happening, but when I played it at E3, I was like,
it's Pokemon. Like I know what I'm getting.
I was a big Snorlax on that one.
I 100% know what I'm getting from that.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to play that and be like, this isn't what I expected. Like I know exactly what
you know
that
exactly
is.
What you're going to get from it. But is there anything else out there? Like,
I don't know. I used to run a game thing that like posted the yearly schedule.
Greg is at the Jedi Fallen Order right now.
So Fallen Order, absolutely. Yeah, that's really big on the list.
That game looks amazing. However, EA's marketing department should all be fired.
Oh, no.
Really? Wow. Like, that's a strong viewpoint.
I never remember that game is coming out this year. Yeah, I don't remember that game exists. And they fucked up that like initial thing.
I think we'll see more of a ramp up in the next because we're still like a month away. Like it's
a ways out.
It's rare. Like I just started seeing Outer Worlds advertisements like last week, and that game comes out next Friday.
But that is an indie game that partnered with 2K. That's a different thing from a major Star Wars game coming from EA.
Yeah, it is apple and oranges, but we're still a month out. I think they want to do more of a ramp up when you get closer to it. Right?
Yeah, I would just say like the initial showing they had in that game at E3, and Greg Miller hosted that.
Yeah.
So you guys know what I'm talking about, where they aired a very boring demo. And I had seen the game before that, because it was a Game Informer cover story that month. And the demo they showed us was way more interesting.
Yeah.
And that was the demo they ended up releasing a couple of months later. I think it was like a month later. And I remember like them sending it to us a day earlier, and I was like, why didn't they just show this at E3? This is much more fascinating and like exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about how the trailer should have been shown. Like I had a commentary on the reveal trailer, right? Not showing actual gameplay. It was only full motion, you know, cutscene video. And so, but I think, you know, Barrett's right is that, and we saw that happen with Rage 2 as well. It was like, what is going on with this game? You know, and Rage is nowhere compared to a Star Wars marketing campaign. Right. But everybody was like, what's going on? Are they worried about Rage? And I was like, turned out, no. They sort of launched everything that week. I think you'll see Remember, it is Q4, holidays, Best Buy deals, etc. You're going to see so much fall in order, your eyes are going to be bleeding starting in the beginning of November is my guess. So give it a few more weeks and you're going to see, like, there's a new Star Wars game. Like, all these people that do not keep up with the news like we do, I don't think you're going to be able to get away from it, especially with TV advertising.
And especially with the new movie coming out.
Theater advertising too, I bet.
Yeah.
Speaking of EA and games I forgot were coming out, there's a Need for Speed game in like 3 weeks. Like,
what? Totally, oh my God.
Heat.
Yeah.
There's too many games. Right?
I just totally, like, they showed that game once, right? They haven't shown anything beyond that.
And it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Are you mad about their marketing campaign?
They're not doing great in marketing.
Got him. He got got.
I got got.
Anyway.
There's also WWE 2K20 coming out next week, but I've seen, from what I've seen of the GIFs of that game, have you been watching, seeing that on Twitter?
GIFs?
Like, GIFs and, like, pictures of people, like...
I've seen, like, cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah, graphically, it looks real bad. Oof. Look it up, because it's interesting. I've been retweeting a couple of it. Ring Fit Adventure is next week. Oh, wait, no, it's this week. It's this Friday. I forgot, because I'm picking that up.
I don't know. I'm also excited about Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody Harvest event coming up.
Jesus.
We'll be talking about it on a Borderlands show.
I want to at least beat the campaign of Borderlands. That's all I want to do.
Finish it up.
I've been enjoying the game more after finishing the campaign. Mm. Like, the post-game stuff is actually really good. Like, there's a bunch of horde mode things that are, like,
there's a lot to do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Fortnite Chapter 2 is out. We'll check it out if we have time this week in the sea of everything else that's going on.
Speaking of Chapter 2s, Volition, the creators of Saints Row, have found the long-lost Saints Row 2 source code, and they pledged to fix the notoriously wonky PC port. This is from Eurogamer by Matt Wales, and you can tell that because it uses the word wonky in the headline.
I like the word wonky.
I don't think it's directly a Britishism, but it's a word that's more used more often in the UK than here.
Let's call Gary Whitta and ask him that.
Yeah, I'll ask him tomorrow during Kind of Funny Games
Daily.
Ask
him tomorrow. That's like top of the show.
Just like introduce him and be like, hey, Gary Whitta, how often do you use wonky? Developer Volition has pledged to fix a notoriously broken PC version of Saints Row 2 after a decade after its original release, having found the game's long-lost source code. Speaking during a special announcement live stream, which also marked Saints Row 2's 11th birthday. Wow,
that's
a
vocal warm-up.
Yeah. Volition General Manager Mike Kulis explained that the studio, when faced with having to create 3 versions of the game for its original 2008 release, opted to outsource the PC port. And as both Volition and countless users on the game's Steam page will attest, the results were less than stellar. For a long time, the only way to enjoy Saints Row 2 on PC in anything like a satisfactory manner has been to rely on community-created mods. Volition's Mike Watson, himself a modder and now senior community manager at the company, has led the charge to improve the game internally for years, but plans were scuppered. Wow. I've lived in England. I don't know that word.
Scuppered.
Mm-hmm. When the studio was able to find the original PC source code. Now, however, after much searching, that code has been found. They didn't actually say which way it had been found, but... they seem to have found it, and they're now going to, like, start working on the PC port with a 2-man team in charge of the project.
Mm-hmm.
The new version will improve performance and stability, integrate Steam networking for co-op and multiplayer. It used to use GameSpy, which is now defunct, and add corporate warfare and ultra-exposed DLC, previously only available on consoles. You shouldn't expect the update too soon, however. It's going to be a while, but it will be free on Steam. They want to give it the care and attention for it to really shine. They want the port to be beautiful on all levels, they say. So this is a really just a kind of fun, interesting story. Because, like, I remember looking back at... because I got into the series with Saints Row 3, which is, I think, actually one of the best games of last generation. So once I got into it, I'm like, okay, I want to check out the rest of the series. So I wanted to see how Saints Row 2 was on PC.
Uh-oh.
I bought it on Steam.
Uh-oh.
Barely ran, completely janky. I didn't realize it was outsourced until I read this, but that makes total sense because that version is not good.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're fixing it is like... You hate to see it, but you love to see this. 10 years later, they're like, hey, we just found this. Why don't we just get back to work on this thing?
Yeah, exactly. It always, first of all, fascinates me that you can lose... source code, you know, you're working with an outsourced developer, I get, but it happens exactly. I feel like we hear this story too often where it was like, oh, we lost that source code. And it's like, you know, especially, I mean, I guess it was a while ago, but even then you're like, look, shared server with the latest copy of the information. You'd think it would just be there, but like, it doesn't always go that way, especially when you're working with external studios and communication can be tougher than you'd think it would be. Sometimes they're not in your studio.
And sometimes hard drives just die and like the backups you thought you'd have are gone and like you're relying on AWS and one day AWS is like, hey, we just lost everything.
I feel like, yeah, on Amazon, like I feel like that should never happen. Where you would think so. Oh, sorry, we can't restore the stuff, you know, we should have like seven, you know, copies of that for you. But anyway.
I mean, like Square Enix is very infamous for, they used to just delete source codes. You're like, why would anybody want this game again? Like when they're making Trials of Mana, like they're remaking that game, but they had to release the game again on like a Mana collection for the Switch. So I was asking them, I was like, why was it only on Switch? Like, oh, we deleted the source code a long ass time ago. So we had to go to Nintendo, who keeps an archive of every game published on their systems, and we had to ask them, could they give us a source code, which meant that game could only be on Nintendo consoles.
Oh, they had a copy, though. Yeah. Good job, Nintendo.
So, like, Nintendo can keep this because Nintendo's, you know, this massive bureaucracy all this stuff. I could see a small Chicago developer going, like, I don't know, why should we keep, like, this outsourced PC port of a game we're never going to sell again?
I actually think they just lost it with, I don't know, the third party, whatever happened with the release of it, and things went down that they just never got a copy of it. Right?
I always like the stories of developers, like, leaving the source code, like, hiding it in the walls, because, like, they had to scuttle the office building at some point. So, like, we might as well hide this here, because the company is going to take it if they find it.
Right.
So, like, those are cool stories because I love the
idea. Put stuff like physical copies of this stuff?
Yeah, like our discs and or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
But all that, I wonder, because so they've already announced a new Saints Row. They've said, THQ Nordic has said a new Saints Row is coming. So I wonder if like this is just a like a kind of, hey, PC fans or Saints Row fans, we remember you. Do not, when the new Saints Row comes, we're not going to do like another Agents of Mayhem kind of thing. We're working for the fans now.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's exactly to that point. It's a really good make good, and it shows how committed they are to the franchise, and they don't want any lingering history, any blood on their hands, so to speak, as they go into like a new update. And so, yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. It sounds like it's not going to take a massive amount of resources, but it is going to take a while.
Yeah. 2-man team, which is not a huge amount.
You can understand, like, they can't be tons of people playing, you know, that game.
Maybe
now.
That game sales spike after this. Who knows?
But it is, I think, an important make good, and especially when you have a franchise, like, yeah, you don't any version out there. Like, I don't think you want, you know, that version that's like a major stinker, and it's like, ugh. Like, if you could fix it, and that is, you know, one of the benefits of PC, you can go back and touch those things up a little more easily.
Or let me throw this one at you. What if they're planning a Saints Row collection for consoles?
Ooh, that makes
and this makes sense to like fix it up for that.
Wait, for consoles?
For consoles and PC.
Well, and PC, yeah. That makes sense, actually, that they might be coming up with a collection. And, like, again, yeah, you do not want to have that
from
problem.
From PC
where it's
to
like,
port to the current architecture and consoles,
like,
is not hard.
Because they'd be met with the, like, wait, why isn't the PC version getting a collection or whatever? Yeah. And they would be like, well, because it sucks.
Yeah.
And so they're fixing it. Yeah, I think that's a good theory. So maybe there's a collection coming up.
I'm excited for a new Saints Row game. I really like 3, but...
Got into it, only for time reasons, as I often say.
If you ever had a hankering for like a good open world game, 3 is probably one of my favorites.
Okay.
But all right, let's get into this next story, which I know all of you at home are very tired of hearing about Blizzard. It has been on Games Daily every day for the last like
what's going on with
six
Blizzard?
Episodes.
I've heard it.
But they keep
They
keep doing things, and it's very hard to not talk about it. So we'll get into this for a little bit. We'll see how long it goes. But Blizzard cancels Overwatch launch event in wake of protests. This is from IGN by Alicia Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard has canceled a launch event for Overwatch on Nintendo Switch just 7 days after it announced the celebration. The free event was scheduled to take place on October 16th, that's today, at New York's Nintendo store. It's tomorrow. I'm an idiot. The first 150 fans to sign up were promised to meet and greets with voice actors from the game, and the only requirement to attend was an active Nintendo account. However, a week later, Nintendo has put out a statement apologizing that will no longer go ahead with as the event has been canceled by Blizzard. There's a tweet that say earlier that said 1,500 people could come. They will get their like autographs signed by the voice actors of Overwatch. So there was actual Blizzard cooperation and collaboration with this event.
Oh, yeah.
And then the follow-up tweet was like, this has been canceled by Blizzard. It was not... The event had just been canceled. They didn't want to leave it ambiguous. They directly said Blizzard canceled it.
Yeah.
So... What, like, obviously...
Duh.
The
That's what I'm going to say about this one.
The assumption is they did not want to deal with the protesters or
Oh yeah. Or
whatever would be there. People dressing as Winnie the Pooh, people dressing in just like red shirts.
Yeah, with a Winnie the Pooh.
Do you think it was a good call?
Yeah, I do think it was a good call. It sucks for fans, but I think that it could have been a sour, I don't know, like some of it could be cool with fans coming together to protest something they all believe in, but like it's just the Switch version of Overwatch and a bunch of Nintendo fans and like to have protesters. I don't know. I guess like that's just something for me personally, I feel like it would drag down the launch event a bit.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm there to celebrate a game coming out and there's people talking about a major, you know, geopolitical issue that's going on, it just really like, that's not why I play games personally. So anyway, I don't think there's a right or wrong to it, an absolute black or white. But me personally, I'm like, yeah, I think that there would have been all kinds of issues. Nintendo also is going to have to deal with like security issues on top of it. And I can't imagine the meetings they were actually having. I mean, I think Nintendo included. Mm-hmm. I don't think this was just an email from Blizzard as, hey, by the way, you know, we're just not going to do it. Thank you, though.
Right.
I definitely think there was a lot of inner discussion between the two, like, what do you want to do with this right now? Like, we need, who knows? Maybe they were saying we need you to pay for security and who knows? But I think, personally, I think canceling it sucks, but that's where we're at with this this discussion right now is we're going to go into BlizzCon and this is going to be a major issue.
I feel like that's the problem, though, is that they're now like pushing this issue to BlizzCon because like if they let people come
air
here,
out.
Yeah, protest a little bit, it would have been fine. No, not
I think
fine.
BlizzCon
it would have
still
been,
be.
It would have been blunted. Yeah. A little bit at BlizzCon.
I know, that's a good point. Like, it has, like, a lot of fuel in the tank, and so we've got to let that breathe somewhere.
But this is throwing a match into that fuel tank. This is them saying, like, okay, we're just going to cancel this now. Now there's going to be discussion of, do we cancel, like, not do we cancel BlizzCon, are they going to cancel BlizzCon, which they're not going to do. There's too much marketing and whatever behind that thing. Like,
yeah, they can't.
There's going to be game announcements, then they need to start doing that, rolling that out at some point.
Yep.
So they're not going to cancel BlizzCon. They're probably... They might have some more security there, and they might talk about not miking the audience or what the camera should look at and things like that, but they're not going to ever cancel it. But the discussion now is Blizzard is too cowardly to confront fans.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too. You know, that's the counterpoint, which is like, you know, you just needed to carry on with the event and let the chips fall where they may. As long as there's no major security issues or anything, then, you know, like, whatever. Let people have the free speech and do it. Like,
it does seem
like they're avoiding it, you know, when you put it in that light. I mean, they are avoiding it, but meaning... In other words, I almost was coming at it with some agreement, like, yeah, that was going to be a rougher launch event. Do you really want to go through with it? But you make the other counterpoint, which is like, yeah, like you need to let people have their voice on this still. And it seems like you're trying to limit that, any press around this. And so that's just going to make you look worse.
Yeah. And the next time they do decide to market Overwatch, which I'm sure Nintendo really wants to do, they want to say, hey, Overwatch is on Switch. Play Overwatch here with your friends in the same room. Use gyro aiming. It's just going to be, hey, we didn't get to talk about this thing at this launch event. Like, so it just pushes that to the next thing.
Right.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah. Either they don't market Overwatch now, which is going to piss every party off, or they do, and it's going to get a ton of backlash on social media and whatever.
Yep.
So they kind of screwed themselves here. But Chad Betteridge writes in and says, good morning, Frimron. Frimron? I thought
we've
agreed
been trying
on...
to come up with that name still.
I like Imfran.
Yeah, Imfran Khan
is
what we came up with.
I like that one better.
Like your last name.
It dropped yesterday that the Overwatch event at Nintendo NYC has been canceled by Blizzard. I'm assuming this is because they expected the event to be picketed, protested. The repercussions keep on coming, and I'm sure BlizzCon will be interesting to say the least. Do you think there's anything Blizzard can do at this point to save face? Is there anything they can do now to get back in everyone's good graces, or have they passed the point of no return?
Yeah, no, I don't think... I mean, there's always something that can be done, but they're not going to do a full 180 apology, pullback, like a change their rules, their terms of service for how do you allow this discussion at the tournaments? Because it is still against, you know, terms of service, according to them, you know, how you handle these discussions. And they really, I think they're trying to avoid a lot more years to come of people just stating whatever political issue is on their mind. I understand that side of it. Meaning, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Like, meaning you either had to ignore it and let it slide in the first place, and, you know, somehow keep control of your events, but just let it slide. But they didn't do that. And so now it's like, how do you go back on that? And they already came back at a half measure and are like, well, you know, we're going to come back on the, what was it, a 1 year ban or something? And it's yeah. only 6 months. And it's like, it's still a ban. So yeah. I don't think anyone's happy about it.
Yeah.
So like how...
Yeah, like any 180 or any like try to any walk back that they try to do now is just gonna
yeah, we
seem
saw them.
Super disgenuine. But I'm saying even of at least making a stance of like, hey, what's happening in Hong Kong is not okay, and we stand with the citizens of Hong Kong and whatnot. Like anything, if they do anything like that, it's just not. It's gonna come off as them
cynical.
Yeah, and so I honestly don't know if there's anything. For them to do at
yeah,
least
yeah.
right now.
The know, opportunity like was last week when they, yeah. but now they've shot their free throw, and once you shoot it, like you don't have any control over it.
Yeah.
So now it's they're gonna have to get at BlizzCon and hope for the best. And I expect that they're going to announce some new games, and they're going to like they're gonna be some fan favorite stuff to show there. That might be how they get past it from like not an ethical or a moral perspective, but to get fans to stop hating them.
Yeah,
it's going to be like, here's Diablo 4.
Honestly, it's just like a bad friendship or relationship experience. It's just not going to go away at this
yeah.
point. It's going to take time, but in time, you know, if they announce, you know, the next Diablo and it looks awesome and it's not just the mobile game debate like we had. That was last year, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the issue?
That was
last
BlizzCon.
Like, brand new Diablo, and everyone's like...
And this BlizzCon was supposed to be the make good for last year's. Of yes. like, we're going to go in, we're going to win back the fan, you know, yeah. confidence and all that. And now they not only have to do that, they have to overcome a completely unforced error that they did to themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
So the answer to the question, I don't think there's anything that can get to good graces in the next couple of weeks.
Time heals all wounds, they
but
say.
But yeah, people, so. The games industry has never done a very good job of holding anger. Honestly, like, gaming community will let a lot of things go.
Eventually.
Yes.
But they're very quick to react. So, but yeah, I think in time. So anyway.
Like, there'll be China jokes about Blizzard from now until the end of time.
Yeah.
But are they, people are going to boycott the thing forever? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people were trying to delete the launcher, right, on PC. And yeah. there's all sorts of issues related.
I reinstalled Overwatch a couple of weeks ago, and I was going to start playing it last week. And yeah. I'm like, this, I don't feel good about doing this now.
You have Fortnite that you can play now.
Apparently so. I can, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, no, I don't think there's much they can do, but BlizzCon will be very telling, and we'll see if they're willing to say anything and stoke the fires even. Like, could they say or do something that just says, look, again, we're really sorry, but here's our awesome lineup. We're about games here. But could they somehow meld those two things together and sound genuine?
Yeah.
Because that's where, it goes back to what Barrett was saying. Like, if they just hashtag free Hong Kong and tweet out something right now, how would you react to that? That's all they say, free Hong Kong. And then they actually retweet something really important. You'd probably be like,
I'd be like, fuck
who
those
are
guys.
You? Exactly. Yeah. There's no getting out of this right now.
Yeah, I know. Once they put out that letter, that was it for them. And like the very obvious lie of not, our China relationship didn't affect this decision. Like that was the thing that made me, that was the part that pissed me off the most. Because like that was them being, that was weasel wording.
Yeah,
of,
they were claiming the pressure didn't matter to them.
Yeah, which is like, I could very much believe that some like they made a decision themselves, but they made it because they were fearful of China. Someone didn't directly tell them to do it. They decided to do it, but they decided to do it because of pressure.
Yeah.
Like or assumed pressure, whatever. Yep. Somebody who like, I'm not a reporter anymore. I was probably not going to watch BlizzCon, the keynote. Cause like I don't have to do it for news. So whatever, but now I'm going to,
So
maybe that's good for them. Maybe now they have more eyes on their announcements.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they say there's no such thing as bad press and like in a way you're right about it, but yeah, they're in a sticky spot right now. Fans are super unhappy. To your point, again, I think they're going to need a lot of strong gaming announcements, community, you know, just sort of rallying focused announcements. It's funny because, you know, WoW Classic, everybody's pretty happy with, right? Mm-hmm. So they're coming out of, you know, some good stuff, but this is a really bad mark on them right now. And it's just a huge world issue. And to be attached to it is going to take a long time to get away from.
We'll see how they dance on the head of our pin at this point. Halo Infinite dev assures everyone that there's no creative dilemma at 343 after lead producer leaves. This is IGN by Matt Kim. Back in August, it was reported that Halo Infinite creative director Tim Longo left 343 Industries as part of a leadership shuffle. Over the weekend, Halo Infinite executive producer and lead campaign producer Mary Olson also left 343, inciting concern over the status of Microsoft's next Halo game. Now, an employee at 343 Industries has clarified that what Olson's departure actually means for the Halo Infinite project. Over the weekend, various online posts began appearing on Reddit and Reset Era reporting that Olson left 343. Given the fact that 343 announced Olson would take over the Halo Infinite campaign team as lead producer, many wondered whether 343 was undergoing a leadership crisis. Following the speculation, Halo community manager John Junacek decided to clarify Olson's departure. "I want to jump in and clarify what Tim and Mary's roles were at the studio. There seems to be a bit of confusion here," Junacek wrote in a Reddit comment with his Reddit account. "Tim's role as creative director was to help make creative decisions around the design and direction of the game, whether it was a campaign, multiplayer, etc. Mary's role as executive producer and then lead producer on campaign was to help drive the game to completion for holiday 2020 release date, with the latter specifically focusing on campaign deliverables. However, the thread title saying he was replaced with Mary Olson and also left is far from accurate. It implies that Mary took over creative control of the entire game, didn't like what she saw, and then decided to leave. If that's what actually happened, I could totally understand getting worried, but that isn't the case, as she was the lead producer, not a creative director." Junacek clarified that a producer's job is to help members of the development team track and hit deliverables, and that Olson has now joined Midwinter Entertainment to work on Scavengers. "As such, fans shouldn't fret over the creative direction of Halo Infinite, as Mary's role as lead producer doesn't overlap with Longo's former position as creative director." Junacek lastly clarified that there is no creative dilemma inside the studio, and there's no writing on the walls, and that the entire Halo Infinite team is rallying behind the game, is working hard to make sure we can execute on this vision.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of words to say Halo Infinite is fine, according to 343.
Yeah, it seems like 343 in particular took issue because the community started to look at the term executive producer and apply certain ideas to what their role was.
Right, which, and producer means different things on different studios.
Exactly, yeah. So understandable that it was confusing when you see two people from a company leave, you start to speculate what's going on, and
right.
Now the executive producer's gone. I mean, it is true that very commonly producer's job is excuse me, to hit the milestones, hit the landmarks, but really steer the ship. That is getting people into the room, making strong decisions on where are we at with this? What do we got to cut to not do it? Of course, the creative director, who's someone different in this case, it sounds like, is the one who's like, wait, here's the big picture. And they are ultimately some of the most powerful voice in making those decisions.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you're the creative director, you know, and I'm her, I'm like, Emmerich, what do you want to do? You want to do both these things, you got to pick one, because we're not going to meet the date.
Right.
You're driving the team too hard. And you're like, I got it. You know what? The second thing, I'm going to reshape. And so, right, that's the difference, if I understand correctly here. And the audience didn't seem to get it. So,
I mean, a producer leaving is still a big deal.
Yes, and I think that's the sub-narrative here still, that maybe they're trying to, like, cover up a little bit, which is why did you have two pretty tall positions take off? Even though they're like, well, you know, the creative director position is fine now. And like she wasn't about creative direction ultimately anyway. She's not leaving because she doesn't like the direction of the game. But it says something maybe about the studio. Maybe.
Right. I mean,
we
like,
don't know.
Rumors
she might have just had friends in this new studio she's at. And it's like, I've been wanting to work there forever.
Rumors and misinterpretations tend to come up when people are already feeling anxious about something.
Yeah.
So like, I think based on what happened with Halo 4 and 5, especially 5, where a lot of fans didn't like it, the story wasn't great, they kind of hedged a little bit, they weren't really willing to fully commit to a new thing, they're promising a lot for Halo Infinite. And by calling it Halo Infinite and not Halo 6, they're saying, like, this is going to be the Halo game. This is the critical thing that we need to revitalize the series, make it 343's own. So when there's a lot of departures and stuff like that, people start misinterpreting that, or maybe they're interpreting it correctly and 343 is doing damage control. Who really knows? But people start seeing that as, oh no, I wonder if this thing is in trouble, because they're anxious about it. And they're fearing that this game that's supposed to be a big part of, it's the only
big part.
It's the only Project Scarlet game we know about right now. So like, this game is going to launch a new console and theoretically show the world what this console can do. And are they doing it right? Is there going to be like a, is there going to be a great Halo game at the end of all this tumultuous trouble?
To be fair, to give credit where credit's due, maybe Halo 5 story mode wasn't up to snuff for some fans. I didn't play 5. I played through 4, but I didn't play through 5. But from what I heard from hardcore Halo fans, Halo 5 multiplayer was fucking amazing.
Yeah, so I've heard that too.
Just to give credit, you kind of you kind of brushed Halo 4 and 5 off like it was nothing. I want it represented out there before, you know, people come.
Well, it's two discussions. There's campaign and what classic core Halo fans expect, I think.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't play PvP, but then there's obviously PvP. And honestly, they've done a lot of great things with it and focused on the Halo Championship series. And honestly, that's in a really good place overall, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how the meta is doing today, but yeah, I think from the core perspective, and like that's why at E3 we didn't see a bunch of like multiplayer footage, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing the next campaign, and that's what we're all anxious about, to your point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like 343 honestly just has had a lot of changes through its tenure, right? Like, I feel like we've been seeing this through the Halos, maybe not in this quick of succession, but I feel like if we go through the history of stories, like there's been a number of these changes on the titles. And so I think there's something just going on with how 343 and Microsoft are run, and it might be a little big, is my guess. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, people are like, look, this is just, who knows? Maybe it's just the pressure. Maybe it's like a very high pressure situation, and it's not that the product's not bad, but you're like, dang, it's next gen development. I kind of want to go work on this other thing because like, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, and sometimes like you move or whatever, like you can't work in front of, you can't be an executive producer for 343 if you're not living in Washington.
Right, yeah. And again, I'm not saying that it's bad to work. I have no idea. In fact, I know some great people at 343, mm-hmm. so they seem very happy. So I don't have any evidence. But what I was getting at, I think, is a company like Microsoft is huge. And so you're part of that ultimately. Now, I don't know if it feels like that at 343, but maybe that has something to do with it, is like you're part of that big Microsoft org. And so anyway, I actually think it's nice they clarified. I don't know that they gave us anything to hang on to other than just like them clarifying. But, you know, I can see why, you know, why it became a story, two people leaving like that.
I'll tell you what the real story is though, Fran.
What's that?
It's our advertisers.
Yes, so that's right.
First off, we got Brooklyn in. You spend a third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? So when you sleep, sleep well. On hotel quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg. Brooklinen sheets are named the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews in Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. They have 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company, and 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. They're luxury sheets, towels, and bedding, and more with a luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Or sorry, these are luxury sheets. Other luxury bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen was the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and are directly with customers. No middleman, just a great product and service. Sheets don't feel great. Our sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. Mix and match with over 20 plus colors and patterns. Greg's Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets he's ever slept on, and their towels have turned Tim's bathroom into a spa. Kind of funny, couldn't recommend them more. For friends, family, or treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve, Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES, G-A-M-E-S, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that in all their sheets, comforters, and towels, they come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Now, you want to feel good in those sheets, so let's talk about Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but what's under the costume is what really matters. Greg and Tim are using Manscaped, and they both looked at each other yesterday in the office and were like, looking good, man.
A good look, too, let me tell you.
Don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find an electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why aren't you putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? The Perfect Package 2.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. For the on-the-go freshness you'll need, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with the Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. This is a weird ad for me to take this jacket off, but all right. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off free shipping with the code GAMES, manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use code GAMES. And finally, a third ad today. Escape the invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you found yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravaged by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens? Looking for a unique date or a game night that gets you off your devices and truly interacting with each other? You've got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. For the makers of Hunt a Killer, the popular true crime mystery subscription game, comes Escape the Invasion, the sci-fi game where you're a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in the government bunker, but is it safer than the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe now, but you found refuge. But there is a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose, freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you will receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game where you must decide who to trust. Your decision will determine the fate of the story, the bunker, and maybe even humanity itself. It's been called an escape room delivered to your door where Fallout meets Alien. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get off your phone and connect with friends. Or if you prefer a solo adventure, you can interact with your online community, swap theories, and help things out. High-quality, handcrafted clues get you lost in this post-apocalyptic world and make you feel like humanity is truly in your hand. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? Fran, the alien apocalypse might be so far away.
How far away is it?
If I wanted to know what is coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
Oh, and of course, you would look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, yeah.
He's better at it than I am.
Out today.
I threw this in there.
Division 2 title update is today.
Yes, is it that actually a big update? Is today. Yeah, the Division 2 title update 6. It comes with a new intro and main mission for the Pentagon. You got a main mission 2, which is the DARPA research lab. You got 2 classified assignments, and there's a new specialization. So those specializations are these things that you grind out and new subclasses, basically, or classes, really, that you choose. So pretty excited about it. There's a bunch of other major improvements, build changes, some changes to conflict. So quite a bit of stuff going on with this update.
That's why Greg's not here today.
Episode 2.
He made up this thing about Star Wars. He's actually just doing
that's
this.
Right. Pentagon, the last castle. So, big update. Check it out.
The Fisherman, Fishing Planet is out today for PS4 and Xbox One. Children of Morta, also PS4 and Xbox One. Earth Defense Force, Iron Rain is out today on PC. Zombieland, Double Tap, Road Trip is out today on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Planescape Torment / Icewind Dale Enhanced Editions is out today on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Out Buddies is out today on PC. Overwatch, out today on Switch. Outer Wilds is out today on PS4. I've heard such amazing things about that game, I should probably just go
and play
it.
I've played some of it. It's cool.
Yeah. The Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition Pack is out today on PS4, yeah. Xbox One, and Switch.
Love Baldur's Gate.
Grandia HD Remaster is out today on PC. The Witcher 3 is out today on Switch. The Switcher. Disco Elysium is out today on PC. The Eyes of Aura is out today on Switch. And the Ninja Saviors, Return of the Warriors is out today on Switch. Override, Mech City Brawl Supercharged Mega Edition is out today on Switch. Billy Bomber is out today on Switch. Morels, The Hunt is out today on Switch. Supesu 2 is out today on PC.
Wait, no. Morels the Hunt, PC.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. Twitch. We said Switch so many times in a row.
Yeah, I guess my mind just auto-completed on Switch. Maybe it'll be out for Switch one day, but for today it's out on PC. Super Mario 2 is out today on PC. Galaxium is out today on PC and Mac. Rebel Inc. Escalation is out today on PC. Smile to Fly is out today on PC. Active Neurons, the puzzle game, is out today on PC and Mac. Crypto Fall Investor Simulator is out today on PC and Mac. And Soul is out today on PC and Mac. New dates. Square Enix will release Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition for PS4, Xbox One, PC on November 5th and Stadia in November, the company announced. Includes the base game, all 7 post-launch downloadable content, and a new outfit. Users who already own the game and Season Pass can download the Definitive Edition's additional outfit free of charge from their respective platform store.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's nice of like Ignis announced that. Yeah. What did you think of that game, Barrett? Did you play it?
I did not get into the new Shadow or the new Tomb Raider games. I played the first one, I think. What was that called? Is this Tomb Raider?
Just Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider, I played like the first half of it, and I kind of liked it. But then when the new one came out, I heard it was great. And then, it was just like time and place. Mm. All wrong for me.
What about you, friends?
Yeah, I really like the reboot, and I didn't really get to play the second one, right? Which is this?
No, this is the third.
This is the third now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm that far behind. Yeah, I think the other one was just called Tomb Raider 2 or no?
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, really like what they did with the series. So yeah, I'd be all over it. It's just a time thing.
I love the reboot like quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I really like Rise of the Tomb Raider. I didn't like Shadow all that much. It felt
Seemed really split between a lot of people.
Is it a little more action-y or something? Or it's like
more confused, honestly, about what the kind of game it wanted to be. Like Rise is already kind of an open world of stuff, but it felt better paced. Mm-hmm. Shadow felt like it didn't really know what it wanted to do with its story. Like at the beginning, it's Lara Croft being like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm a monster who's taking all these artifacts, but doesn't go anywhere with that. Okay. It's just creating all these like big problems. And like, there's points where you like confront the villain in villages and you don't do anything with it. Like it's not a big conflict or big climactic scene. It's like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
It's very weird from a writing perspective.
For the story side, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like what they did with the gameplay. What struck me when they rebooted it, I'm a big Metroid fan, and so it had these Metroid elements where you'd see like a giant ice wall, and you're like, I know I can get up there, and you're like, huh. And then you later come to find out, whatever, you get your ice pick, and you can do it, and you upgrade that. And so I love gameplay like that. Plus the tombs, I've always loved the puzzle solving in tombs, and I saw that they kind of, with the sequels, they took that, you know, a little farther. But anyway.
Yeah, they refer to this as the final chapter, which kind of bums me out because I'd like more, but I'd like them to be better too.
I'm sure we'll still get more.
But they did announce that as a Stadia launch title, and now we know exactly what that means. Google has announced that the Google Stadia Founders Edition will be available beginning on November 19th, 2019. Google Stadia's Founders Edition and Premier... or the Founders and Premier editions are mostly identical, but the Founders edition comes packaged with an exclusive night blue controller as opposed to the Premier's Clearly White. Mm-hmm. And the Founder, that's a dumb name, Clearly White. Then the Founders edition features a buddy pass and the ability to claim exclusive Stadia usernames.
Clearly White is what people think when they see people like me and Tim. Like that's awesome.
You're right, but you don't like it because I think I know why.
It's just like this is Clearly White.
Oh, you're the marketing guy. I thought that you were going to be like, it's not clear, and that's confusing.
That's also the problem.
That is, like, yes. Okay.
I would like, if you call it Clearly White, it should be a translucent controller.
Do you know what they call the black one?
What?
Just black. They couldn't just call it black.
It's 5 o'clock. Let's just put whatever fucking names on here that we need to.
I mean, I think it's got a certain tone to it. Clearly White, Just Black, like, whatever. Wasabi.
I never care. The wasabi
one's cool.
The Wasabi controller color is cool. I think the name Wasabi for it is really dumb. But honestly, I don't think about controller like color names ever. Like,
really? I love that about like the industry. Like all the different colors, and I don't know. I love that. Like the N64 always had like, you know, jungle green, right? For the N64 Donkey Kong.
I can think about GameCube. Yeah. I think about GameCube controller names because Spice Orange was a fucking amazing name.
And that is my favorite GameCube is spicy, so you do like it.
So what was the purple? It was like Midnight Purple? Or no, it wasn't that.
Just the straight up standard purple?
Yeah, they had a name for it.
Atomic Purple.
Atomic Purple, okay.
Oh my God, you're right. I should know this. I wrote that in many press releases. But I'll tell you the story of this. If I could pause for 1 sec, I know I'm getting late. Morel's The Hunt on PC. Now, when you read this, if you're not, say, maybe, I don't know, if you're from the Midwest like me and you're a fan of Morels, or maybe you just love eating mushrooms for dinner.
I'm sorry, what?
By the way.
You want to give a little bit more backstory to this because I have no idea.
So morels are a very delicious fungi.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? There's a fungus. Anyway, they're super delicious mushrooms. They do grow in the Midwest and some other places. Actually, I think the season is more like April and May or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I love them. They're just like amazing, and you can get
Fran,
them
what
dried.
What the fuck are you talking about right now?
The reason I'm bringing this up, I can't believe somebody made a game that is about hunting morels. Because when you read it, you're like, this must be an intense, like, I don't know, FPS, right?
I assume morels was just a name. I didn't think it was about hunting
mushrooms. Exactly. So if I asked you, what is morels the hunt? You'd be like, I don't know, some PC first person shooter. No, morels the hunt is an immersive gaming experience about mushroom hunting and photography while being surrounded in a beautiful interactive nature and wildlife setting spanning across the U.S. I just would have never guessed that somebody would make a game about it. So anyway, I thought it was amusing. And also at Abram Studios, they must cook up some mean morels. And I would like to visit
Is that Abram? Is that? Oh, okay.
That's the developer. So I don't know.
When you said Abram Studios, my head went to that video game studio J.J. Abrams made.
But
That's called Bad Robot. That's
what he's
totally
been working on. He's just been working on a game about mushrooms.
I assume Star Wars took some time, but he announced that a while ago. I don't know if that actually ever came to anything.
Hit me up on Twitter if you also love morels. Or live on Twitch where I'll be streaming morel cooking. Anyway.
Just eating morels.
Oh, man. I'd do it. They're so good. I'm getting hungry thinking about it.
Deals of the day. Best Buy and Target have a 25% off sale on select games right now. On the Best Buy side, which includes pre-orders and $10 reward certificates.
There's going to be a ton of sales coming up. We're getting into the holiday season.
And they always tend to time those like buy two, get one free sales like right before all the big games come out. So I'd assume we're going to get one in the next like 3 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully so.
All right. Quickly, let's do some reader mail.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from Frankfurter. He says, good morning, Imran and Fran. Microsoft is launching a new feature today of filtering profanity, insults, and other vulgar language. It'll be available for all by the end of the year, but its main target is to protect the kids. While it sounds good on paper, do you think it's a bit late? Next gen comes out in a year, and little Tommy and Susie probably have an Xbox by now, and I'm exposed to all of this. Will this feature be helpful in protecting the youth, or will it go down in the bucket of unused parental features?
Yeah, I don't totally get the question because it's never too late for something like this. In my opinion, I'm glad
there's always going to be a new, like, little Tommy and Susie.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Yes, I would have loved to have it on launch day, but, like, you know, features come later. So, no, I think it's a good feature. I haven't used it, so I couldn't comment on how effective it is or if it's easy to set up and all that fun stuff.
I think it's important for Microsoft to do this sort of thing because, like, they have a reputation of Xbox Live being a wasteland, of being just, like, a place where you... Like, it's not Dota bad, but it's pretty bad of how toxic that place can get.
Yeah.
So it's good for them to be like, okay, actually, your kids are going to come here to want to play Minecraft. So we want to make it open to them that they're not getting a weird thing from some guy on Project Scarlet.
Yep. So, no. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. I would never want to shame a company for trying to stay on top of this. And hopefully they continue to improve it with Scarlet, which comes out next year.
Yeah. New tech is never too late.
Mm-hmm.
But Frankfurter has also given us our squad up and also done it with Borzen. So Borzen. Oh, he says, hello, kind of funny best friends. Borzen00 and I have made a Destiny 2 clan for all the kind of funny best friends on PC. We both saw there wasn't an official one. We wanted to create one for everyone looking to hop back in. For the most part, everyone in the clan has said they can play casually and usually work after hours in the States. If you want to join the clan in search of kind of funny PC, search Kind of Funny PC and we will let you in. If you can drop in the comments of the clan what hours are usually available so people can jump in and coordinate. My friend code on Steam is 33405302 and Borzen00's is 27171803. Thank you all for being the best, Frankfurter and Borzen00. And this is a part of the show where we look into your wrong, where you guys tell us what we got wrong, and wow, this is a long list.
Yeah, we always got to take our time to see what we're actually wrong about here. I'll start at the bottom. You start at the top. How about that? See
if
I can pop anything out.
K-Bab says, I knew the guy working on the IGN wiki for Fortnite, and Chapter 2 is so different that he's effectively had to nuke the old wiki and start over.
That's not a year wrong.
That's not
a year wrong.
But it's funny.
I know. But you're abusing your wrongs.
Exactly. Send an actual your wrongs. Yeah, there's just a lot of like additional commentary here.
Stadia will launch at 9 a.m. Pacific time on November 19th.
That's good.
So, like, just having the time.
That's a Tuesday.
Which is good. Morning. Like, it's good they have exact timing for it, because I think about it as a platform console, whatever. Like, it launches that morning when the store opens. But I guess that's not, like, effectively true.
I'm going to double check this thing right here. And then I didn't really see any, like, big you're wrongs. So there's just double checking some things.
I don't know if this is true, but King of the North says the Google color names started with Pixel phones and were meant to poke fun at space gray and rose gold and other color options that Apple offered them on their phone by calling them clearly and just.
Got it. All right. See, that's what I mean. It has a marketing tone to it.
I guess, but
it's fine.
I kind of like Apple's like dumbass names.
I'm fine with it. My issue now is, why is it wasabi? Why isn't it creamy wasabi? Or what?
I think if you call a controller creamy, you better be prepared to just no one buy that version.
How about? Never mind. I was going to say spicy wasabi. No, I would come up with awesome, dope names.
Okay.
Let's get Jared Petty on the phone and ask him.
Yeah.
Why
maybe
they decided this
with all these.
Yeah.
Nanobiologist did write in with a note that Apex Legends does have a Fright or Fright collection event that is live right now that goes through November 5th. And that is true.
They need to step it up on theatrics.
They do.
Like, that's going to be the next big thing of, like, how much did you get people at school the next day to talk about your Battle Royale and what it's doing?
Yep. All right. I don't think we got anything crazy wrong. That's good for us.
That's cool, because tomorrow I'm also hosting with Gary Witta.
Mr. Witta.
On Thursday, it is you and Greg Miller.
We back. What? I thought it was us on Thursday. It's Greg.
Yeah, it's you and Greg. Unless Greg has not changed it and I'm supposed to be on there, I should double check that.
We'll double check it.
Thursday is also the Gamescast with you, me, Greg, and Tim. And on Friday, it is me and Tim hosting.
Man, you got a packed week, man. Good stuff.
You think this week is packed? You should see next week.
Yeah.
Next week is, I have 6 shows.
Awesome.
Which is insane.
The busiest man in the business.
Apparently so. Right, Fran Mirabelle, where can people find you on the internet?
If you'd like to support me and like me on the show, an easy place is head over to twitch.tv/fm3_. But also, an easy way to support me is if you're ever in the Epic Games Store. It's actually Fran Mirabella is my creator code. Or if you're buying new skins in the new Fortnite, or if you're playing Dauntless, again, Fran Mirabella is my creator code. It's actually a free way to support and goes a long way.
If I buy one of the free games and put your code in, does that work?
I always get asked that, and I say, yes, just do it, because worst case, I'm getting credit for people. I'm not going to make anything from it, but I will get hopefully some credit, like, oh, this people like this Fran guy. Let's keep him on our radar over here at Epic, where we make billions of dollars.
Repeat the code for people.
Yeah, it is Fran Mirabella on all those stores. So easy way to get in there. Sometimes, there's like 20% goes to the creator when that happens. Like Borderlands was a ton of support, and really appreciate all the best friends and everybody who have used it. So thank you.
Awesome. All right, Fran, thank you so much for coming.
Imran, a pleasure as always.
And this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily.